Yeah, I want you to look again, if you would please, verse 17 of our text. You'll notice a rather unique little reference by Paul. It's a verb that's repeated twice in the text, verse 17. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. Now, of course, the unique reference I mentioned a moment ago is found in those two words, zealously and affected. They're in the first line of verse 17, and you'll notice also the first line of verse 18. They zealously affect you, but not well, or not in a good way, Paul says. And then he says, it is good to be zealously affected in a good thing, or in a good way. It's two opposite applications to the exact same unique phrase. The question is, what does it mean to be zealously affected? More importantly, what does it mean for you and for me, for us today? Well, that's what I want us to consider this morning from the Word of God. I want to speak on the subject, fired up. You see, folks, if you really want to know what the phrase zealously affected means, then just consider the two words. Zeal means passion or fervor. Affected means influenced or moved. So moved by fervor, moved by fire. In other words, fired up. You could also consider that both of these words in the text come from a single Greek word, zeloo, which means a boiling over. It was often used for jealousy or for envy, or in other words, fired up. And in fact, that is exactly what Paul was when he sat down to write this epistle under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is exactly what his enemies were when they attacked him, which is the reason he wrote this epistle. And it's exactly what he wanted the Galatians to be in their service to God. And, beloved, it is exactly what we need to be. In these last days of rampant apathy and indifference and lukewarmness among the people of God, our Lord Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24:12 that in the last days, because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. Cold? Yes. Many? Yes. But not everybody. Because some people will be zealously affected in a very good thing. Some people will be fired up about the right things. Let's pray. Father, please help us to understand the import, the meaning, the power of these words by Paul under the inspiration of your Spirit. And please help us to understand what they mean for us here today. We'll praise you for what you do in all of our hearts. In Jesus' precious name, amen. There are three things in the text this morning that I want us to consider in light of Paul's unique admonition here to get fired up. Zealously affected is the phrase. And the first one I want you to notice is that, number one, it's bad to do bad with zeal. Let me say it again. It's bad to do bad with zeal. Verse 17 again. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. In other words, there are some people, Paul says, who are fired up. As a matter of fact, they're so fired up that they spend their zeal trying to affect others. They're activists, if you will. The problem is they're not good people. The they in verse 17 refers to false teachers who are condemned in this entire epistle. In chapter 1, remember, Paul introduces these people as those who preach or would preach, quote, another gospel, specifically the gospel of law and not of grace. These were the Jews who were clinging to Moses more than the grace of Christ and trying to put Jews back under the ceremony and under the ceremonial law. And folks, while I believe that every Christian should read Galatians carefully at least once a year, every year, these enemies of the cross are not the only ones who remind us that it's bad to do bad with zeal. Evildoers who are fired up have always walked to and fro upon the face of the earth. Their envy, their deceit, their anger, their pride, and their hatred inflame them to works of darkness against the children of light. And that is precisely why, by the way, the most hateful and intolerant and bigoted and narrow-minded people on earth are the very ones who project those same pejoratives upon Christians who follow this book. Which, by the way, is also a reminder that compromising with unbelievers who are full of zeal never, ever works. These who are zealously affected will never be satisfied with the notion of live and let live. There used to be a saying in America from some of those zealous folks that would say, just stay out of my bedroom. Now they want you in there. Because they don't want you to tolerate it, they want you to celebrate it. Their saying is no longer live and let live. The real motto is live and let's destroy. They believe in free speech, just not your speech. They believe in tolerance, they won't tolerate you. They believe in individual rights, but exclude individuals. They believe in freedom of religion, except for your religion. And you know what? If that sounds irrational to you, if that sounds contradictory and blind, then just remember, zeal that is in a heart that is dark always burns indiscriminately. It is a wildfire that has no boundaries, no guidance, and no restraint. They zealously affect you. If you put a high-speed train on solid rails that do not give, and it remains on those rails, you know what? You can fire that train like a bullet out of there with safety and speed, and rest assured. But if you take away the rails, even one of them, take away law and morality and truth and decency and light, and then all you'll have is zeal that ends up in destruction and chaos and heartache and loss. And right now, this crazy train is called the United States of America. Politically, judicially, religiously, they zealously affect others, but not well, not in a good way. Verse 17 again. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. Do you know what he's saying there? He is saying that bad people get fired up when they get others fired up to do bad. He says you will affect them. You will give them more fire if you follow their bad ways. They are certain university professors, for example, who live to destroy a young person's faith. For some people, if they can take hope and joy and faith out of somebody's heart and replace it with darkness and despair that's already in their own heart, that's a great victory to them. They get fired up by that. Their mouth, Romans chapter 3 says, is an open sepulcher. Destruction and misery are in their ways. If they are immoral, they want your children to be immoral. And they're downright fired up about it. They want to get in the preschools. If they are hateful, they want you to be hateful. If they are in bondage, then you must be in bondage. You see, folks, it's envy, but it's envy on fire. It's pride, but it's pride on fire. It's misery, but it's misery on fire. It's ingratitude, but it is ingratitude that is so zealous, it hates Thanksgiving Day and makes light of it. It is bad to do bad with zeal. And 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, acknowledged that this dynamic in the world is absolutely nothing new. Satan may change the labels, but it's the same old flame of unbelief and rebellion and folly. Jesus said, they compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and then turn him into twofold the child of hell that they themselves are. That's what they want to do. They zealously affect others, but not well. But that brings us to the second truth in the text, because believe it or not, nothing about this first point, ladies and gentlemen, is either disheartening or disillusioning to the child of God. After all, in the Bible, we were told that evil men and seducers in the last days would wax worse and worse. So that none of this is either new nor surprising to students of the Scriptures. We said, number one, it's bad to do bad with zeal, the worst sort of bad. The second thing, however, is that number two, it's good to do good with zeal. Verse 18. But, Paul says, it is good to be zealously affected always. in a good thing. In other words, follow this, as bad as it is to be on fire for bad, nevertheless, you know what? You really can never be too on fire for good. It is always good to be on fire with good. Now, I can tell you without question, even in churches, that not many people truly agree with that. In fact, most people who even claim to be good only want their good to be presented in measured little sparks, a tiny candle under a bushel, quietly. Don't be zealous. Don't be a fanatic. You know, it's fine if you have Christ's love and spiritual joy. Just don't be so obvious about it, especially at work or the family reunion. It's fine if you have a song in your heart, so long as it stays in your heart. I mean, you're not going to actually sing his praises, are you? Out loud? For others to hear? You have peace in the Holy Spirit. You have hope and confidence in the Scriptures. Okay, just don't tell anybody. Just don't be so fired up about all of that which is good and godly. Take it easy with this righteousness stuff. And that way, you know what? You'll be respectable. Of course, these are typically the very same people who get completely fired up over their child's ball team. There's no distance too far to drive. There's no uniform too expensive to buy. There's no chant too insipid to yell out. There are no cleats too bright to wear. There's no practice too insignificant to miss. Oh, no, no, no. For them, in that realm and so many others, it's all out. It is fired up, zealously affected over something that won't matter 2 seconds after you or they go into eternity. Hey, Dad, can I miss practice so that I can go to Sunday school this week? What? Are you crazy, son? Are you becoming a religious fanatic? We spend our entire lives, day and night, for this one season, and in no way am I going to let fanaticism stop you! Who's fanatical? Verse 18, it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. Paul's talking, ladies and gentlemen, about that which is biblical, holy, spiritual, and eternal. It's truth. You can never be too zealous for the things of God. Now, politics, I love politics. Too much. I read about it and read about it. Academics, I love them books. You didn't laugh. That's terrible grammar, by the way. I love all them books. Sports, health, pop culture, food. You know what? It is okay to get fired up on occasion for all of those things, but not like this, not always. Paul says always. Not with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. I see the sports page and I see the Marlins are 1.5 games out of the wild card race. And you know something, folks? I'm interested. I'm vested. I like it. And I'll check it tomorrow. I read last night that Ricky Fowler is leading the Barclays FedEx event. You know what? I'm glad. I want him to win today. I do. Louise and I saw Ricky at Publix just a few weeks ago, and I thought, man, he's a little guy. How's that little guy hit the ball 300 yards, and these big guns can't even do that? I know. It's hard to imagine. Sports, there's a little fire there for me. I'm always interested. But let me tell you what I'm not. I'm not zealously affected. None of it is enough to keep me up late at night or away from God's house or to sacrifice time or money I don't have. Every time I see the Marlin Man. How many of you know who Marlin Man is? Raise your hands. How many of you know who Marlin Man is? All right. You're too invested in sports like me. He's a super fan. You know, he's on TV. He's got an orange Marlins jersey. Or Miami Heat jersey, visor. He's always in view of the network cameras at every major event. I'm talking about the World Series. There he is, right behind home plate. Kentucky Derby, he was there. The Final Four, NBA Finals, Super Bowl, he's always there, always on camera. And every time I see him, I think to myself, man, that guy is committed. Do you know how expensive those seats are in all of these events? Do you know how far in advance he has to plan to buy those seats in those spots? Do you know how much travel's included? Lawrence Levy is his name. He's an attorney who, by the way, is also a huge Seminoles fan. There's something about attorneys who are Seminoles fans. Brother Banker's not even here today, is he? Oh, well. But that man's committed. He's zealous. He's on fire. And best of all, Marlon man, he is not ashamed. Why in the world should we ever be ashamed to be on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ? Somebody tells you to tone it down, tone it up. Somebody tells you to be quiet about Christ, tell them to be quiet about their world. I remember back in my welding days, I had a coworker named Bob. He always called us fanatics, Jesus freaks. That was a term back in the 70s. And one of the reasons he called us Jesus freaks and fanatics is because we always talked about Jesus. We prayed over our food. Sometimes at break, we even had a little sort of church service. And he just thought that was crazy. And he thought we were crazy. One night, I gave him a little chick track called This Was Your Life. You've seen it before, a little booklet, right? Cartoon. In that cartoon, there's a vile, cursing bad guy in the story named Charlie Connor. He's the factory worker in there that dies without and goes and sees God, This Was Your Life, and sees it plays before him. He ridiculed the Christians in the track. Bob took it home and read it, and the next night when he came to work, he had on the front of his helmet, his welding helmet, the name Charlie Connor. I actually thought it was kind of funny. And he wore it for a long time. But he always had he hid behind this, you're the fanatics thing. You're crazy, you're religious nuts, you're Jesus freaks. And that was his defense. He was an engineer student at Purdue, very bright young man. Very self-confident and a very respectable Chicago Catholic. One night he came to work and he looked absolutely miserable. He was hungover, upset, irritable, angry, couldn't weld straight. And I said, Bob, what in the world? What's the matter with you? He said, man, I had a terrible weekend. I went to the Yes concert to see my favorite guitarist, Steve Howe, and I smoked too much dope. Alcohol's not allowed. So we injected watermelons with a syringe with vodka and carried those into the stadium and got wasted on that. Loaded watermelon. Somewhere during the night, he said, my $1,000 camera got stolen from off my neck. The tickets were outrageous, and yet I can't remember a single song. I don't remember the concert. The whole thing cost me a fortune, and now I feel like death, and I'm supposed to listen to you hammer on steel collars all night long. And I took my hammer, boom, boom, boom. He looked at me from his Charlie Connor helmet, and he said, so, you seem awfully happy. What'd you do in the weekend? I said the usual. I took some kids to church on a bus, sang some songs. I remember them all. Heard some great truths, ate some good food with family and with friends. You know, typical fanatic stuff. By the way, do you realize that, beloved, what really goes on at rock concerts and hip-hop festivals and political conventions and Hollywood premieres and VMAs and the Burning Man and all of these gatherings that look at believers as fanatics. These people, beloved, are unhinged. They revel at being a bullet train without tracks. So that again, why in the world should we ever be embarrassed to be on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, because Pastor, people like Bob will snicker and make fun of you. True. But so what? Bob had a perm. He had his hair put in a perm down to his shoulders. He was a little rock band. He spent hours perfecting his guitar duck walk for his little band on stage. He was lost. So what if he snickers? And besides that, this morning I grabbed a commentary from my office. It's a really good commentary, the Grace New Testament commentary with GES, the Grace Evangelical Society. Each book in the Bible, this is volume 2, was exegeted by a different teacher. Here's all their pictures. You see the pictures in the front. And there's all those pictures in the back. Great teachers, many of them are familiar to you. This picture right here, that's Bob, a.k.a. Charlie Connor. He sent me this commentary when it was published, and he wrote something in the front, you may have noticed. It says, "To my dear friend and father in the faith, Jim Blaylock, if he had not fasted and prayed and wept over my soul, I wouldn't be here today. So thank you so much for the prayers, encouragement over the years. Keep on keeping on for the King of Kings. And by his grace, I'll do the same. Love you, Brother Bob." Revelation 2:26. You see, folks, a few months after that Yes concert, Bob got saved. And the next year, he transferred from Purdue University to the same Bible college I was attending. And one day, he became my assistant pastor here at Beacon Baptist Church on Center Street. And today, he pastors a church in Garland, Texas, where to some people, guess what? He's a fanatic. He's overboard. Every single person in this room is zealously affected by somebody. And every single person in this room is zealously affected about something. You're on fire about something. Sports, shopping, politics, money, a hobby, music, gaming. Everybody gets fired up over something. Just remember this, ladies and gentlemen. The only thing you can never get too fired up about is this book and God's will and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We said, number one, it's bad to do bad with zeal. And there are, in the Bible, people described as especially bad. There are, in the Bible, some people described as especially reprobate. You cannot compromise with them. You cannot say, okay, we'll agree with you here and here and here and here. They will never, ever be satisfied because they do bad with zeal. Number two, we said it's good to do good with zeal. And it is. But then thirdly, I want you to notice, number three, it's bad to do good without zeal. Verse 18, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. In other words, Paul says, you should be on fire for good. You should be zealously affected for that which is right, whether I'm there or not, whether I'm in the room or 1,000 miles away. Why? Because being lukewarm. Because being lukewarm as a child of the living God is sin. Half-heartedness, apathy, indifference, and dispassion. Folks, that's fine when you're talking about the Miami Dolphins. That's fine if you're talking about Rio or money or Disney or Marvel or Facebook or clothes or politics. Because guess what? Hillary did not die for your sins. Mickey Mouse is not real. Tannehill does not rule all of creation. So that, well, guess what? Who cares if people with a car that has a Hillary sticker or a Disney or a Dolphin sticker think that a car with a Jesus sticker is a fanatic? I'm with Hillary, I'm with Jesus. Who's the fanatic? Better yet, he's with me, is his promise. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a real reason to be fired up. It is bad to do good without zeal. If you find yourself dragging to church, in other words, I don't want to go, I don't want to give an offering, I don't want to sing the hymns, I don't want to talk about the Lord, I don't want to have prayer time, if you find yourself trying to do good without zeal, recognize right away that there is something wrong in the core of your heart. Romans 12:11 says, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That word fervent is the exact same words for here, zealously affected. It means on fire. Serving God with fire. Colossians 3:23 says, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Not half-heartedly, heartedly. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. And yes, beloved, everything that has to do with good and with God is associated with zeal and with fire. Love, joy, faith, service, conviction, truth, New Testament church. All of that you can always, always be fired up in your heart about. And none of that, none of it is worthy of a lukewarm heart. So that, you know what? I don't know who. I have nobody in mind or in thought. But I know this, it's time for some believers to stop splashing around in the shallow end of the pool and swim out to the deep. Stop being embarrassed about your faith. Stop being shy about who you are as a born-again child of God and launch out into the deep. It's time for others to cast off the shame you feel from the world who wants you to put your faith down in the basement somewhere. Jesus said to put it on a hill, not under a bushel, and let the world see it. It's time for all of us here to rejoice and to sing and to testify and to give and to pray wholeheartedly, because it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing. Or if I may put it another way, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, He's worthy of our zeal. He's worthy of our fire. When it comes to the things of God, He is worthy of our enthusiasm. He is worthy of our commitment. You cannot say that for all of the other things that you get fired up about. But you can always say it about the one who saved you. He is worthy for all of us who have been redeemed by His blood to be fired up for His glory, about His word, and about His will. You know, the Lord Jesus once said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Your heart, and that is the picture, your heart, of your emotions, your excitement, your enthusiasm. Your heart follows your investment. If you invest all your time and your energy in Wall Street, that's what you'll be fired up about. And you invest all your time and your energy in the NFL, that's what you're going to get fired up about. If you invest all of your time and all of your energy in traveling, that's what you'll be fired up about. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your heart follows your investment, the question is, what are you investing in? What is your life about? And I can assure you again that there is only one who is worthy for you to get fired up always and in all things. Father, I pray you'll bless the invitation. I pray, God, that for those who've asked for prayer, you'll draw them to you. And I do pray, Lord, that this church will be a beacon in every way, that every one of us, Lord, will recognize that it's your will that we be zealously affected, fired up about our faith and our walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so much so that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, that there is joy and there is boldness and there is faith. And in so doing, Father, the ones around us who know not Christ will be convicted. For those in this room that are not saved, convict their hearts, please, now, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.